it's what, 210? We gotta remember that it's being recorded, and then we need to look over the minutes from the last meeting. Just the five of us do that. Does anybody have any changes or anything to add to the minutes? Are we good? Do you want to make a motion?
Make a motion, we approve the minutes.
Second. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Can you, for today, since I can't, I don't know everybody's voice, can you say who you are when you're first and second?
Pat Barber, second.
Okay.
So, we don't have anybody here for public comments. And I've, the finalized annual report, we'll go ahead with that. I think we're ready to present it to the board or send it to them first. Do we have a date or time when we want to present it to them at a workshop? Yeah, show them. I know, I don't like it over with. We had it down to get it done in April, now we're in June.
Right.
It was done.
The next workshop is, when is the next workshop? Ms. Laura? The next workshop, what schedule is it?
June 29th.
Right, okay. So that would be the workshop date is June 29th.
Okay, and if we send it.
It probably should have been on the last, I thought I asked, but maybe it wasn't clear. But I will recommend that to the Ms. Saunders that we add that to the workshop for June 29th for CFOC to do their presentation.
Now, is that a morning one or an afternoon?
It is a morning.
Morning, okay.
9 AM.
And it gives us enough time to send this to them, enough time for them to look at it, right, before?
Yes.
Okay.
I, if you have it finished.
Yep.
You can send it.
Okay.
To.
Well, Laura has it, I think, do you have it, Laura, from Christian? Do you think the, have annual report? No? Okay.
Just so everybody will note that we did update that chart on page five. It didn't have 21, 22 on it, so it was updated.
Okay.
It only had through 20, 21.
Okay, everything we had said the last meeting, I think.
Yep.
I think so.
So we workshop the board on that date and then the board passes it at their next meeting?
Accepts it.
Okay, accepts it, I mean.
Right.
Okay.
And that meeting would be.
July 27th or 5th, July 25th. Board meeting.
No. We have 18th.
The 18th is a special meeting only for.
Right.
Advertising for.
Yeah, it would be the 25th, so.
25th, okay, 25th.
So we need to send Laura over, does anybody?
I can.
Send her, or I can when I get home.
Okay.
Okay, we'll send you over the attachment for this.
Thank you.
If you can send it out to them.
What time does the board meeting begin?
9 o'clock.
9 is the workshop.
On the 29th of June, 9 o'clock.
And the actual board meeting starts?
The board meeting on the 25th will be at, it's an evening.
That's fine.
So that would be at 5 PM?
Yeah, yeah.
Am I correct, Ms.?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so moving right along, so the start of the annual report for next year, so that's what we're already, we're gonna go ahead and get started so that we aren't at the end of the year cramming all this stuff together, so. I asked Jeremiah, he's here from the arts, because we haven't done anything with the arts, we just added that, so we need to figure out what they're doing with the money and I asked if he could come and explain some things, because some things I don't understand that is kind of going on. And I, what you have is something that Jeremiah sent me, because I picked a school that I know, and I know Manatee, so I picked a school I know, and I said, hey, what, you know, what are they doing with their money? And so this is what he sent back. So I'm gonna get him to kind of explain a little bit. We did get his presentation he made to the board. It was in one of our emails a couple months ago. Yes. So that's what we have. So, do you guys, this is Jeremiah Bowman, and this is Kevin Chapman, the chief of staff.
And I'll let Shannon introduce herself too.
Okay. I'm Shannon Bowman. I'm the director of secondary curriculum instruction.
Okay. Good. Welcome. Good to see you all. Okay, Jeremiah, do you want to kind of say, you know, how it's
sure.
going and what's
yeah.
going on?
So to give everybody a little bit of background, in spring of 2021, Ms. Saunders asked that the Arts Task Force convene, which was led then by Ms. Yost. And the beginning of that was to start the discussion with the board of adding the arts to the ballot language for the referendum. So we came together and came up with our presentation and discussed with the board adding the arts to the mill, and a needs assessment was sent out to all teachers. So about 90% of all visual and performing arts teachers, that's band, choir, orchestra, theater, dance, art, digital art, teachers filled out the needs assessment. And you know, there are various questions about what do you need for your program, what do you think needs to happen across the district, kind of curriculum, equipment, facilities. It was pretty comprehensive. So then we took that, compiled that information, and the board did decide to add that, input that language to the referendum, which we were very excited about. So that led to the creation of the Arts Implementation Plan, which was then presented to the board that fall before the referendum. Thankfully, in November, the referendum did pass. So then we, for the first time, had money dedicated to the arts. So then in the spring of 2022, we started coming up with a very detailed funding formula to help distribute funds equitably across the district. So that funding formula included number of students, Title I status of schools, and a percentage of socioeconomic disadvantaged students at that school. So when we received our $2.5 million allocation for this coming school year, we then took that formula and we used it to create what we call our Part One allocations. So in your packet that you have, there's a breakdown of Part One, Part Two, Part Three. So Part One is where the money is tied to the teacher at the school. So at the elementary level, the school enrollment is used in total at the 10-day count, and then that's multiplied by the formula to give an allocation for supplies or music, depending on, you know, the subject being taught. At secondary, it is broken down by course enrollment. So we went into each middle school, each high school, found out exactly how many teachers they have teaching everything, which courses they're teaching. So then we broke it down by, you know, a band director, choir director, orchestra director, theater director, dance teacher, traditional art, digital art. It was a lot of different categories. And so then we had a spreadsheet for each category and how much money was allocated into different categories for those teachers based off of what the teachers said they needed in the needs assessment. So to try to come up with some general categories so we didn't have just endless amounts of lines and codes, secondary was broken down into a basic supplies budget, music budget, some equipment, additional instruction like lessons teachers, and then piano accompanists for our choirs. So once that was all done, then we sent out the allocations to each school. That was in the beginning of the fall. And that's kind of what you're seeing on the Manatee High School report at the top. It says final part one, school-based allocations. So these are all the teachers at Manatee High and the categories assigned to them and then their subject and then the final allocation based off of their course enrollment. We did a projection prior to school starting and then after the 10-day count, we pulled everything and readjusted. No one lost money, so if someone's enrollment went down in a course, we didn't take money from them, but if they added kids, we did give them additional funds. In addition to that part one allocation, we also gave money, additional funds to our arts magnet schools to help with additional programming. So Manatee Elementary, Lee Middle School, and Bayshore High School received additional funds specific to the arts magnet, and then they had to write a plan for what they were going to do with those funds. So each teacher was asked to submit a arts millage planning document, which had all these categories on it. So for example, at Manatee High, Mr. Galletti sent back his planning document with his categories, and he detailed in there, you know, what he would like to use his money for. So these are the allocations and how it was dispersed with part one. So once the money was sent to the school, it was really then a discussion with the teacher and the principal about what they ultimately spent their money on. So then that was what goes through Mr. Yingling and all the approvals and everything like that. Part two is where we have our large ticket items. So if teachers wanted to request an expensive piece of equipment, like a new digital printer or instruments or risers for their choir, then they could request that through part two. We didn't want to send all the money out to the schools because our needs are varied across the district and they don't all need the same thing. So, you know, one year if a school gets a whole new set of risers, well then the next year we make sure that other schools are taken care of. And that includes equipment, like equipment, musical instruments, supplemental curriculum. And our part three are the ongoing requests that we have throughout the year. So that was where if teachers wanted to go to a conference, they could request funds to go to a conference. If groups were going on a trip, they could request funds for transportation, so our marching bands or any of our groups going to music performance assessments. We're also able to pay for any assessment and entry fees, so if groups were going to festivals and they had, you know, a fee of a per student, $5 or whatever, we were able to pay that. And then we have our special projects and clubs category, which that's where if a teacher is starting a new club or continuing with one that's already existing, they could ask to be compensated with NCH up to a certain level if they were not already receiving a stipend for that through the contract. And they could also request supplies. So if a teacher wanted to start up an art club at an elementary, they could submit a request and say, I want to start an afternoon art club or after school art club, and I need supplies to do that, and it's going to be this many hours, and then we would allocate funds for that. So those are the big kind of three categories. And then through the year, you know, we were helping schools spend their money at their locations. To part two, large items, you know, we were purchasing throughout the year, and part three, of course, we were taking care of all that throughout the year. It is important to note that in part one, you know, not all funds that were originally allocated to the schools were spent by the March 1st deadline that we gave them. So if they were not spent by then we started pulling funds back to curriculum to then spend on things that we had not been able to purchase yet. So, because some schools, they just didn't end up needing as much as we sent them, or for various reasons that they didn't spend it. So to make sure it was spent in time, we started pulling those funds back. I do have a printout here which gives you an estimate as of May 31st. I'm sorry?
Wouldn't pass it. All right.
All right.
Actually, trying to get your steps in.
Yeah. I've been doing that at camp, no worries. So this is as of May 31st. We pulled the arts millage budget overview. And so breaking it down into categories, you can see where we've, in a big 30,000 foot overview, you know, on professional development, what our disbursement was for NCH, what we were able to pay for either additional instruction or for teachers to be paid for their extra time outside of their contract time. Supplemental curriculum materials, which could include books, music, you know, instructional books, sheet music. Performance area disbursements. This is where we do upgrades to either the auditoriums or the cafetoriums if they need speakers or projectors or sound systems, microphones. Elementary art and music equipment. So that's anything you can imagine that they would need in an art room, easels, paintbrushes, stuff like that. Music equipment, it could be orff instruments, mallets, guitars. Secondary art and music, same deal. You know, equipment that they requested. iPads for art, that was a big request. VPA, Visual Performing Arts Office disbursements. This is where they're paying for printing, travel, for us to go to conferences, stuff like that. Recruiting disbursements. This is money we paid for our doc posters to have students signing up for band classes. So all the teachers got posters this year in English and Spanish. All sorts of stuff to try to get kids to sign up for our courses. Transportation across the entire district, and then assessment and entry fees disbursed. So the number under that says part two disbursed, should be really part two and three, was over over 1.3 million. And then the part one allocations, this is what we believe was actually spent by the schools. Salaries includes new visual performing arts specialists that we were able to hire, bookkeeper to be able to handle all of arts millage, plus two teaching positions. Music play is our elementary music curriculum resource. Art Center Manatee, we pay them a very discounted rate to be able to use their gallery for the district art showcase. And so that's where we come up with our total. And you know, right now we're looking at 16,000, which is still going to be allocated through an NCH that, you know, we're still getting all that documentation in. Summer curriculum writing and other services that were still going to that June 30th deadline for invoices. So I hope that gives a big picture overview of what we've been doing this year and how the money's been used. Happy to turn it over to Mr. Chapman if you have anything you would like to.
No, absolutely. Yeah. So you can take the Manatee High and think about that times, you know, all our schools.
Right. No, I didn't. Yeah.
Similar one for each school.
Right. Yeah. I have a question.
Yes, sir.
What roughly was the percentage of the allocation out to the schools originally that was actually spent that you had to pull back? How much did you, what was the percent they didn't spend, roughly?
Looking at probably around 300,000, just doing some quick math.
Okay, which would be what about 20 to 25% that it didn't spend, or
could, that's very possible.
12%.
Okay.
Okay, so I do have some questions.
Yes, ma'am.
Ask a question before you do.
Yeah.
I was at the presentation when you went to the board and were asking about more money, and it was very passionate. Do you feel like, are you getting what you need? Or do you need more money?
Well, you know, I think we've had a great start. Like I've said at multiple meetings, I believe it should, the effort should remain at least the same to have a sustained impact over time. You know, of course, it would always be great to have more money, to have more positions specifically, but that really kind of is tied into student choice and what students are selecting in their courses to actually take. So, you know, each year, last year and then this year, you know, we look at course enrollment at schools, and we try to identify, you know, exactly where are these pockets of, you know, we currently don't have a teacher here that teaches chorus, for example, but, you know, we see that there is interest there, so maybe we can piece together, maybe two schools, you know, have enough kids that maybe we could have one position where they float. Mm-hmm. You know, so, and those are discussions that take place in March with Ms. Saunders, and so we were, you know, very thankful we were able to add a couple more going into next year. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm hoping that, you know, next year add a couple more to keep doing that. So I don't like it. It's always great to have more money, but I think we're in a good spot right now.
And when you gave that presentation, I was ready to pull out my checkbook and write a check. So I think the passion that you showed at that meeting, you need to keep that level. You know what I'm saying? Because most people don't understand it. Well, why do you need, you know, this or that? But unless you're at the ground level and see how the students are doing with, you know, that part of it, it's really good. So awesome. I would encourage you to do that.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you.
On your Manatee High sheet, at first when you said auditorium upgrades, I was concerned that this was related to capital. But when you describe upgrades in other auditoriums, you were talking about equipment.
Yeah.
Is Manatee High also equipment upgrades?
Yeah, it's equipment.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you know what they got?
Projectors.
A projector.
No, multiple.
Projectors.
Oh.
Multiple projectors. Multiple projectors, the systems, you know, the systems for the projectors.
Okay.
You know, we bought the equipment, you know, all the guts, if you will, and then operations side, they're the ones who do the install and the hard.
So we didn't pay for their carpet that they just got.
That's a capital.
I know, but
when I saw that, I was concerned.
Because
we had had to look at, in the past, we had to look at capital expenses paid out of the referendum, and that had to be taken care of. So I wanted to make sure that that wasn't something that was happening with the arts money, too. So.
Now, there were a couple of things that we were looking at replacing. For example, curtains at Lakewood Ranch High, and replacing a couple at Great River that had ripped. You know, after going through that process and then working with Mr. Wagner, you know, they said this is really a capital.
Definitely.
And so they worked with capital about having them take care of that. There are a couple stage floors that need resurfaced that we, you know, got estimates for. And so, you know, through that discussion, they ended up paying for that through operations. So through this, you know, we have come across things where we're like, man, we really like to do this and use this money for that. And then, you know, for me learning too, and with working with Mr. Wagner and the entire team, you know, they were like, well, this is really more of a capital expense. And so let's try to go through Todd Henson and his team to do that.
Okay. And then can I ask about the private lessons?
Yes. Yeah,
it looks like each one of them does that. I'm looking at the Manatee High thing.
Yeah.
So who gives these private lessons?
So the teachers have, you know, professionals that they bring in who are put through our pretty exhaustive HR background check process, and then they hire them. They're contracted. I know Mr. Jamisco specifically, you know, he had a lady come in who was teaching voice lessons, so they would come in, you know, maybe once a week and work with students and...
And then all the students are offered these lessons?
I mean, from my understanding, I mean, I don't know every specific case, but the idea with that is that, yes, they're able to provide instruction across the board for their students and provide supplemental...
I just know people that are in these things.
But that's never allowed, but that is an allowable expense under the intention of the referendum.
Yeah, but wouldn't you want it offered to everyone, not just one or two?
I don't know that that's our decision. Our decision is...
The taxpayers are paying.
Our decision is, was it under what the referendum's intention was, and yes, it was.
I have a related question. Would any of those funds go to the music teachers themselves? Music teachers are really the only teachers who can tutor their own students in Florida.
I don't think they're allowed.
No, I think music teachers are allowed. No, not anymore? Used to be?
They don't.
Okay.
No, they can't pay themselves out of this. What did occur occasionally is if a teacher from another school went over to another school and taught lessons after contract hours, they could pay them.
That's what NCH can pay that.
But ultimately, what happened, you know, these are, I do want to say, you know, the part one.
Say it to the whole group.
So these, like the part one, these are recommendations that we made. We made to the teachers and the principal. What they ultimately spent it on is really up to the principal discretion and discussion with their teachers. Because some of them may said, well, like, I have a pretty extensive music library. I don't really need to spend that money on music. I really need to buy a couple of new trumpets. And so the principal, you know, say like, okay, well then, let's do that. And that's where we, you know, giving site-based decision making, you know, we don't get into the weeds that much.
But for us, we're looking to make sure that it's within the scope of the referendum. Yes, this was an allowable expense under the auspices of the referendum is what we're looking for.
But then we don't know, this is what you gave them, we think they wanted to use it for, but they may have used it for something else, which we wouldn't know what it was, right? And that's what you were just saying, like if they want to buy trumpets instead, it's not on here.
Well, that all goes through Mr.
And you would find, he would give us a printout. Okay. I don't know. I mean, maybe they went and...
It has to.
Everything has to be approved through Ryan, and he called me. We had lots of conversations about, hey, they're wanting to buy this. Is that okay, Mr. Wagner? You know.
But
that's what we're trying to figure out because we haven't done these arts part.
But if you want to ask to pull, say the expenses from one teacher that's on here. They can show us that and we can compare it to see that it was something that is approved based on the referendum. I mean, we don't have to look at every single 25 million things, but we can look at some of them and just see.
If I could add, okay. So my understanding is that these are the categories you set up to disperse the money. These are the categories, or these are the items that the teachers bought here for the high school, right?
Well, those are
recommended
allocation categories. So
these are the categories, the arts millage spending summary estimates. Aren't these the categories?
When we take the money and we get all the budget transfers, which is what I get, then I tag them into different categories to come up with numbers. So of all the teachers, you know, that received, well, the thing is, the part one money is not broken down like the part two and three at the top here.
What I'm asking is, so I'm going back to Manatee High School.
Yep.
Angela Bobrowski has $10,000 and change in dance production support.
Yeah.
Does that cross back to this sheet? No, it doesn't.
It doesn't cross to the top. The top is what teachers requested in addition to their part one.
Oh, okay.
The part one allocation is what was sent to the school and spent by the school.
Okay.
And, yeah. So that breakdown would be.
Just to clarify, too, we can track what was spent for each object code as far as if it was equipment or supplies, and we can do it by cost center. We have nothing in the financial system that tracks by teacher. There's no fund or object code that would designate, like, this teacher generated this expense.
By school.
By school, yes.
Yeah, by school. That would be fine. That, I mean, that's fine.
And then what is marching band design and staff support? What's staff, I mean?
So the marching band, I mean, design, it's very expensive to design a marching band show. I mean, you're spending $3,000 to $4,000 for music, $3,000 to $4,000 maybe for marching band drill, and you have choreography for the flags and the dancers and the baton team if they have it, or pom-poms, and then the additional staff that it takes to run the marching band. There is the band director, but then there's usually a color guard director or a dance director or the drum tech or the whatever. And so just to support our groups, that was.
So they pay Mr. Bruce then 15 grand to do their
I doubt they pay
him.
What they, I know at Manatee, what they ended, they Mr. Galletti asked me, you know, he said, hey, you know, you gave me $15,000, I don't need all of that for that, could I use it for like our auxiliary winter guard group? So I think they ended up using some of that for, you know, to pay for winter guard design for other kids and stuff like that.
Then another high one was that theater production support, $17,000. Heather
Cattell,
what was that?
Well, they have a lot of kids, and so you know, some of the numbers are high because enrollment is really high in those courses, and plus with theater, I mean, you're talking about building sets, buying shows. I mean, for example, this summer we're doing Finding Nemo Jr., and it was $3,000 alone just for the music and the rights to do it, and they're having multiple shows a year. So if you're doing 5,000 a show, that's 15, and they do three shows, that's 15.
Okay, but we're not funding the whole thing. We're just a little supplement to what the district already gives them, correct? We're funding the whole
program
for every school now.
They don't get anything.
They get nothing from the district for the class?
They didn't prior to having the referendum.
They did?
They did not.
So it's
theater, you know, drama, they mostly funded themselves through ticket sales after the show. So then, you know, they have a reserve to jumpstart for the next year. Schools, prior to the referendum, the two big things that were there was that they had money for instrument repair, which is still there. So that was sent out to schools. And then the other thing was $50,000 a year was allocated for marching band uniforms. And outside of those two things, or music programs, there wasn't anything specifically allocated for them. You know, if principals had some
discretionary
funds, F&E funds, then they could possibly help pay for supplies, but there wasn't anything from the district that was tied directly to.
Well, I'm just wondering how we did this all these years and have shows and bands and whatever going on
band is totally different because
it's band
boosters
and everything. Yeah.
Well, the stress of, I mean, as a former teacher, right, band director, I mean, the part of the plan for the referendum was to take some of the stress off of our teachers who are constantly having to raise money and sell candy bars.
Mm.
And so, you know, the boosters, you know, are amazing, and you know, we always told them, like, this shouldn't replace You know, it shouldn't mean that they just go away. They still need to be there and support, but when you're fundraising, generally, you're going to the same people over and over and over again. So if you sell butter braids, and then you sell calendars, and then you sell candles, you're always going to grandma, right? So instead of going to grandma four times, maybe we can go to grandma once, and then the referendum kicks in, and they're able to, and then they're like, oh man, you know, like we can pay for our buses. I mean, $12,000 for buses for marching band season is, I mean, to, as a former teacher, if I would have known I didn't have to fundraise that, or I could have lowered band fees by $300 a kid.
But they're not lowering the band fees. They're not at Manatee anyways. They just raised it another 10. So it's $270 per band fee, which is supposed to pay for some of their buses, which the boosters pay for the buses, but now we pay some of the buses. So I don't know where. I'm just saying there's a lot of money going around that I don't know.
$270 is not very much, honestly, for a marching band. That is pretty low when it comes to think about everything that a kid gets to do. But the thing is, with as well,
they may not go as many places as
yeah. Part of the thing too is that the teachers were learning this year, principals were too, is that, you know, almost I would say 95% of all requests were honored, but if they didn't request it, we didn't know.
Right.
And so some schools took real advantage of it, and they were like, man, like, okay, here are all my trips. I'm putting in all of my bus requests, here are all my invoices, boom, we transfer the money to the school and they pay it. Where some, they just didn't pick up on that. And even though we asked and we asked and we asked, and so then yes, kids were charged for trips that the mill probably could have paid for, but that step was not taken. And so that's where, you know, next year with more education, and now that they know with their first year, like,
Talking to each other,
you got your uniforms paid for through the mill? It's like, yeah, they'll pay for that, but you have to ask for it. And that's where, you know, some of our auxiliary, I call them auxiliary groups, you know, that are not tied directly to a teacher, because the money is tied to the teacher, and that's how they spend it through school accounts. So if there's a group like a color guard or a dance team or a drill team or an art club or something that has a sponsor, they really need to work with their principal and their band director, choir director, theater director to say like, hey, here's what I want to do, here's what I need, and then they can submit it and we will transfer the money to the school for them to pay if it falls under our, you know, categories that we support.
You know, I just wanted to ask you this, theater's production support, that if when I was in high school we would have had this kind of support, I'd be a movie star today.
Right, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because I think some people start out there and they make it on the big stage, so I think that's a great thing.
Well, Mr. Batchelder wasn't in, he was in here, you know, we've paid him to go support schools after his, you know, regular hours, because he can run the sound and the soundboard and everything, you know. And the theater teacher may be incredible at teaching the play, but when it comes to all the tech stuff, they need some help, you know. So Nick, you know, as much as we can stretch him, you know, we love sending him to schools. I know he
kids
was
kids learn how to do that too.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. Kids, so you know, he taught a lot of them.
Definitely.
Whole different job.
So I might ask a question.
Yeah.
So one of the things that we're going to be dealing with, and since really one of our topic today is preparing for our next annual report, is what would you suggest would be the metrics that we should be looking at to show the results of the expenditures?
Well, I think school grade is a big one, district grade, you know, I mean.
Is that specific enough to the arts program that it's a metric for us?
I'll give you a lot more, but okay. I think big picture, are our schools improving? Because I do believe that strong arts programs equal strong schools.
Right.
And so it's stronger in our stronger district overall. Mm-hmm. We need to look at, you know, when the 10-day count comes in this next year, are our enrollment numbers up? You know, did the recruitment plan work? Are there more kids in the arts? Did we increase?
Okay, so enrollment.
Yep.
In the arts, though.
Enrollment in the arts. You know, we can really dial down with our test scores, and we can track cohorts of students. Now, these kids that started and they went through this many years, their test scores versus kids who did not, we can look at that. We can look at all sorts of things, attendance, discipline. Ms. Fleming, do you have, that's more your data, data wheel?
You know, we could look at the number of production schools are able to do with the, the increase in funding. Not just productions, shows, off-campus, you know, trips to assessments and things like that. You know, teacher professional development, the fact that we were able to send a very large group of teachers this year to, you know, some high quality professional development opportunities, that we wouldn't historically be able to do that. You know, I think that those are pieces we could look at as well.
So music, sorry.
Yeah. Well, so it might be a good idea then for your department to give us a snapshot of some of those metrics before, and then we have a slot to put in those metrics for the annual report to make it more concrete for us.
Yeah, now we can do enrollment numbers, you know, year before referendum, you know, first year, second year, third year. I think we go look at music performance assessments, which is a state standardized thing across band, choir, orchestra, how many kids are participating in these events, what kind of ratings are they getting, are they going up, are they getting better, you know, are kids participating more? That's definitely, there are lots of different ways. I mean, I guess it'd be more deciding which ones we want to focus in on.
So
at Parrish High School, we were the only high school, I think, to get the rights to Frozen play, and then, and now subsequently, a whole bunch of awards have now been given to that school for their performance. All kinds of different awards for you know, the singing and the the band and the pit orchestra, I guess is the right term. But so we could also judge it on, you know, competitions and awards and things.
So we are getting ready to present our report for 21-22. And so the one that we're working on next will be 22-23.
Okay.
What's your timeline for that?
60 days after the AFR.
It's approved, yeah.
So I guess my
question.
No. That's what we started.
It's
tomorrow.
So last week.
It's not even your end, man.
When is our next meeting?
Yeah, but they won't even have
closed
out the area.
No, but I would be asking would be maybe by our next meeting, which is a couple of
August 2nd,
maybe, is that when you could give us at least a draft of the categories of the things you just mentioned, that these are the metrics?
So
you don't have to do any. There's no finalization.
There's going to be year-end closing, and then actually it occurs and firms up in August.
Just know, we're not asking for any details.
No, right.
Just what you would recommend that the metrics be, and maybe what the graphic would look like.
Yeah, what the graph. Yeah.
And
what
maybe
the graphic
we can go ahead and do it because the year's going to be it's going to be done, so you can have it spit it out, and we're done.
Well, the thing with August 2nd is that
that's
school
the beginning.
I mean,
it could be
in December,
of
I don't care, but I'm just saying.
Yes.
Get it in there and so
if you can just tell us what you would suggest that we show and how.
Okay.
We show.
Yeah, and how we show.
But not what's in there necessarily.
Yes, right. It's just a
overview.
Yeah.
No, just how we would show it.
Yeah.
I think we have some that are already detailed in the strategic plan, so we definitely would make sure we cover those.
Oh, that'd be perfect.
And then we can definitely add some. Some we won't be able to definitively say until the 10-day count.
Yeah, that's reasonable.
But
oh yeah, that would be the enrollment. That's when we know the enrollment in the programs is after the 10-day.
Understandable.
Yeah. But it does get us ahead a little bit.
Yeah, great idea.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, does anybody else have any more questions for that?
Thank you very much for the info.
Thank you.
Mr. Chapman, did you put your 2 cents worth in?
No, yeah.
Just want to make sure you had.
Well, I mean, it comes, like Ms. Ergen, you know, when it comes to specific schools, and you know this, but, you know, working with the SAC committee, you know, is probably their best way to kind of actually see, you know, and ask leadership there, you know, but we can figure it out.
I'm just looking at that.
Me to go ask them?
Oh, no, no.
Oh, okay, I'm like, oh, you, oh.
Yeah, no, I just meant to, you know, to figure out that, you know, like you mentioned, the marching band fee and.
Yeah, because I just don't, I mean, it sounds enormous, but I don't know, can you buy a computer program for that? Can't our computer program do that, for instance?
Well, it's probably internal accounts and all this.
What?
A marching band thing?
People Impossible.
Yeah, come on. That thing should be flying planes.
But I think I know where you're going with that, so I'll figure that out.
Yeah, I'm just like, is there a way to do it that we can, if you buy a computer program and then send it out to all the schools and then boom, you can all do the same thing.
It's artistic.
I understand that, but there's gotta be.
There's an app for that, right?
There's gotta be some way they do this. I mean, how they used to do it, I don't know.
They might do part of it by computer program, but it's individualized. There are competitions for these things.
I know, but it's not.
Well, they don't compete that way. Ask Jeremiah.
I don't know, I'm just saying.
His band won every single year.
Yeah, three in a row.
Three in a row.
That's right.
Well, then how did you make up the choreography?
Hard work.
No, I had a band booster organization that raised $200,000 a year, but I also probably aged.
I know, but then we're all in the business.
Trying to do that.
He's getting younger every day.
Our boosters worked very hard, and we had a very strong organization to fundraise. And there were years that we just weren't able to do certain things, you know, but, you know, I was very thankful that we had that sort of support. And of course, you know, Mrs. Scarborough being there, and she was a very big proponent and supporter of us. And, you know, Dr. Gilray, when she, you know, initially hired me, you know, I mean, there was a lot of support there to make that happen and make that viable. And we had a lot of parents who really bought into what we were wanting to try to do. And so when they started seeing those results, I mean, it just kind of takes care of itself after a while. But then it's, you know, managing it is like the wow. And, you know, after a while, I'm like, I need to do something else. It's like, here I am, you know, but no.
Now you want to manage all of this.
Their band boosters were like Manatee High's football boosters.
Oh, yeah.
Getting out.
Tackle.
So, I mean,
the
we
money,
did.
That's
money,
it. Tackle.
Money, the money.
So, I mean, we did concessions at every single football game, and, you know, we did concessions for spring sports, and we had massive fundraisers, and you name it, we did it or tried it. And
I guess what I'm kind of worried about is because these bands have boosters, and they do that. They do the sell stuff at the concessions and all that stuff, and I just don't want it, like, double dipping into, you know. Like,
well, they're getting,
you know,
they're getting to have things that they didn't get to have before.
And they're still using the band booster money, not just ours. That's what I call ours.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, the thing is, if I didn't have to spend $15,000 a year to just get the band from one place to the other, I mean, I would have bought instruments. You know, so now that's what they're doing. You know, that they're spending that money on, or just more instruction.
Or
like,
other things.
Hey, I can hire three more people to help out the color guard or the woodwind section or the brass section, because now I don't have to pay for buses all the time.
Yeah.
And so that really is where it impacts our kids directly, and why we've told them, like, you shouldn't just stop what you're doing, because there's no guarantee that this is going to be forever.
Right.
You know, we want it to be, but you don't want your organization to just totally go to nothing and then all of a sudden be gone.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And I just want to make sure they're using that money too and not just relying on this.
I believe they are.
Supplemental.
Okay.
I believe they are.
And this is to build the school programs besides those with boosters too. Because.
Yeah. I mean, we don't, our elementary art, they don't have boosters, but, you know, the art teacher says, if I get $1,000 for supplies, we could do this 6-week project and have something for Mother's Day, like, and the kids love it, you know, and the teacher gets paid for an hour after school each time, and because we don't have an elementary art or an elementary music supplement. So those.
And the kids get to display their work.
Yeah.
They don't get the millage money?
There isn't a specific supplement for elementary music and elementary art like there is for.
But they are getting it in their paycheck.
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
okay.
Everybody gets that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I just want to comment as you're leaving. I believe God has given you a gift.
Well, thank you, sir.
And that's why you're so successful. You know, the passion that you have
work.
Explained and with the meetings. So just keep up the good work, you know. Make it be like COVID. Make it be contagious.
Oh,
God. That's not in a bad way, but in a good way. You know what I'm saying?
I'm with you.
Yeah.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you.
See you all.
Bye.
Hey, hurry back.
Yeah, see you.
Okay, so that was our quarterly report review. I think it'll be good if we can get that information and learn that section will be done. Okay, so union members, do we know anything about the union members' charter changes?
I asked about us having a copy of the charter that's being recommended, and I didn't see it anywhere in the information we were provided.
Okay. So I guess we'll look for that, maybe. Who should we?
I sent an email to Laura Eaton because I didn't know. Laura Cox, is that right? Was going to be our new contact, but but I don't know that we should be asked to discuss and recommend to the board if we don't have a copy of the charter.
Okay. So
and I would like to make a comment on what you were just saying. I think the charter for the Citizen Financial Oversight Committee was made by the board.
Yes.
And so we're here as volunteers being approved. Okay, so I think it goes back to the board that we shouldn't have to decide something that the board does it.
Well, they asked for a recommendation from us.
Well,
that's I was at that meeting. They have always asked us to review the changes to the charter, and sometimes we recommend them ourselves.
Right.
But I don't think we should be asked to vote on something that we haven't had copies of.
Yes.
Right.
Okay. So
I'm concerned about that.
So we'll revisit that one. Okay, and we're down to review member vacancies. Do you know how many vacancies we have?
I know last meeting you said there was two. Positions.
Right. One was due to the death, of course, the other was due to not being present. Those are the two vacancies I know of. I'm not sure how many, let me see if we have for this committee. That 10? Every time I look at it, I thought
it was 11.
11, and then?
Okay.
But are they going to change that in the charter?
No.
No.
Wasn't one of the recommended changes I saw.
So 11 total we need. And we've got.
But do we have a copy of the whole list with who's on what terms?
I don't have that. Where it shows who's
rolling off.
That was sent out at one time. We've had it not too long ago. Christian had sent
He's
that
not
out.
There anymore.
I understand.
Okay.
I understand. I think Christian had sent that out to all of the committee members.
Like recently?
I thought this year because of the term of some that fell off, such as yourself.
Me?
Yeah, chairman.
So how does that work? I mean, does they own anything when their term ends, or automatically off?
No, they can say whether they want to continue or not.
Right.
I know when Reverend Golden, when the board voted on me, he said it was a lifetime appointment. I told him, I said, I don't know about that.
I can tell you, seems like it.
I will request that we give that again for... The committee needs a list of current CFOC members and their term. Meaning when their terms end. I know I had requested that before and I thought we had gotten it. I think I did it when I was on this committee, not as a school board member, so it might be that far back.
So that's not something that you guys, as a committee,
I know, somebody keeps it, the person who supports us keeps it.
Right.
I'm looking through my notes too.
I do know it was an attachment.
Okay, I'm looking through all of my emails from Christian, so I'm looking. There's just one of them.
We'll look for it, we can...
Okay.
Yeah. And terms.
It's kind of the flux.
Yeah. I know I'm rolling off.
Lifetime appointment.
I have my lifetime appointment.
Your three?
For seven years? On a 3-year term? Does that work? Does that math work?
I don't know that was sent out.
You guys are new, so you would be new. You wouldn't be going off.
I don't know what support staff would have that missed.
He's new because he came on and I didn't.
Yeah.
But I know we've seen it.
Yeah, she's new.
Well, I just re-upped, so I'm not...
Oh, okay, so you got 3 years.
Let's see. Let's see what it is, let's don't guess.
When we had the meeting, May of 22.
No, let's don't guess.
Those terms ending in the 30th last year.
Okay, so if we can, did she find it?
I see in notes from May of 2022, was mentioned the terms ending June 30th. Anderson, Aaron, Frederickson, and myself. It's for a 1-year term, because I re-upped.
You re-upped.
I re-upped.
Okay.
Frederickson came off.
Yep, she came off.
Aaron, you're still...
He re-upped.
And Ballard re-upped.
Okay.
I have Ballard here as well.
So, I don't know where that came from, I just noted it when I called out the names. But I'll keep looking.
We can get it.
I know, someone is right in all these papers.
If it's in here somewhere, I know I've seen it.
Yeah, You're gonna find it as soon as you get home, too.
Yeah, I will.
Exactly.
We all will.
Yeah. Okay, so the next meeting is August 2nd, except for we're going to be at the workshop, hopefully June 29th.
You will be at the workshop June 29th. I thought it was... I will take ownership of that, not getting on the last workshop. It probably should have been, but that was a pretty packed workshop.
Well, we probably wouldn't have been ready anyway.
Yes.
We probably needed this meeting. I'll give you grace.
Thank you.
We probably needed this meeting anyway to be ready.
I mean, if they have any questions, yeah, I don't...
And then you can...
And y'all are busy, too.
I'll be your spokesperson. Just a couple of questions.
It's about the same as the prior meeting.
It really is.
Okay, do we need to, Cindy, do we need to make a motion for you to ask Saunders to put it on the agenda that we remove those two, or did we decide that they were removed from the committee?
Because of the way the charter reads.
That's the board's...
I know, but do we have to, does she have to ask the board now? How does she bring it up to the board then?
I'll just make a recommendation that...
Okay, just, and then with that.
Mr. Ballard be removed. I thought I had made that.
I thought you did, too, but I don't, you did, you talked about it, but I...
We agreed to that at the last meeting for attendance, right?
Right.
Or his term is up.
Well, he missed his attendance. Yeah, attendance.
Term up.
Yeah.
But the term is up.
Oh, the term is up, too?
I think so. I don't remember.
Okay, and then...
That's the case, and just let it go with that.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
That's what we'll do.
We gotta officially get him off, I think.
What we need to see is if Mr. Ballard fell over attendance, and I believe that was the case.
Yes.
I had talked to Ms. Saunders about.
Yes.
And/or terms. So, at the board, next board meeting, maybe we can add that on there.
Do you remember to send that?
To have a discussion about the CFOP. Not the next board, because it's already been advertised, but you know what I'm saying.
It's in the...
Yeah, you'll have to just talk to Ms. Saunders and get it. She'll tell me when.
Our materials for today.
Yes.
It was in that. So I'll forward it to you, just so she has.
Okay. So she's gonna forward you the email that we had for today. It was all in our materials.
That'd be great.
And then that is the report to send to...
The report is included with the minutes for today's meeting. Did you have that email from Christian? Okay, I'll forward it.
I'm so sorry.
No, don't apologize.
And then send the packet to the board for them to review or look at before. Yeah. Usually they don't ask many questions, do they?
Right, they just say, good presentation, had a great day.
Well, we don't know, because we have new board members, but Cindy's in the loop, so...
Cindy will answer all the questions.
Yeah.
Agenda for next meeting?
Oh, yeah, we do need, does anybody have any agenda items for the next meeting that we can...
Do you have anything different about your email, or is it just Cox L?
Cox 3, L.
Okay, thank you. I was worried about that.
Okay, so the next agenda, we need to bring back the union members / charter changes. We can review the quarterly report again. We already started the other one, so that's done. We don't need the finalizing when it's over. Okay, so we can review member...
Hey, Dina, I can hear you, but I don't think anybody else can.
No.
Turn it up higher.
The time is 9:00.
Okay, I thought, but I wasn't quite sure.
Now we can hear you.
We're all wearing matching shirts, too, on June, whatever. Huh?
Dina Howell.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so, yeah, we'll just do the review. Does anybody have anything they want to bring up next, in August?
Thank you, everybody, for your hard work.
That's what you're bringing up?
Yep.
Perfect. Okay.
And I apologize for being late.
It's okay, traffic, not a big deal.
We were half a game.
Yeah, do you want to make a motion to adjourn? Do we need one?
You got it.
Okay.
Second.
Okay.